My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. Giacomo Fino Anane, Giacomo Finane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Wow.
Wow.
Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something.
I am walking through the Brooklyn neighborhood today.
Yes.
I'm a little early for the recording, which has been a point of contention in this very room.
Okay.
Yes, Bowen has scolded me for being late on some occasions.
Rightfully.
And you know what? I'm doing my best. In fact, Sudie and I went to the beach yesterday with a lot of friends.
Yes.
And I was a half hour early.
Oh my goodness.
To the pickup spot. I'm really making strides. That's literal strides.
This is a new leaf.
So today I'm arriving early in Brooklyn. This is where we record the pod now. We did it. We moved.
I mean, do you feel like a new man?
Feel like a new man, and I have a new knowledge. Because I'm stepping in the deli around the corner, and there's a huge picture of one Sarah Jessica Parker. And I have to ask because I'm culturista.
Sure.
I say, I'm sorry. I noticed your giant picture of SJP.
Yes.
What's going on? Is she a regular? He says, no, she was in here once. I was like, oh, okay. She just stopped in. He goes, no, she was in here for 2 hours. I was like, what was she doing in here for 2 hours? He goes, she shot a movie here. I was like, what? Was it a Sex and the City sequel? He goes, it was a stupid movie called I Don't Know How She Does
It. Oh, I was going to guess. Not a bad movie and a very Brooklyn Heights. We're in Brooklyn Heights. It's a very Brooklyn Heights movie.
You said not a bad movie?
I said not a bad Brooklyn Heights movie, maybe. We'll roll that back later. oh my God, you guys. We are so excited. This is a great episode, you guys. I'm just going to say. I'm going to forecast.
I have big, big predictions for this one. And my predictions are Peabody Award winning.
Peabody Award winning app coming right at you. We have an amazing guest.
Yes.
Let's go through the credits.
We shall. The host of Party Time. And I don't want to say it's with her name, but I don't want to reveal it.
Of course, of course.
So Party Time with the guest. And the next one is on July 16th at the Bell House. And you must go. We've done it with our group, Popper Roulette, and had a blast.
So fun.
It really is very fun. Yeah. You got to go.
And recordings, video of it is on Above Average. So check that out before you go to the show. Mm-hmm. Just so you know what you're getting into, honey. It's an experience. And you can
variety experience.
Of course. And you can see her stand-up special, Pizza Mind, on CISO, or the audio is on iTunes and Spotify. It's so good.
Look it up. Guess what? You know her. You love her.
It's Sashir Zameda.
Yeah.
Yay!
Party time, woo-hoo! Indeed.
Party time.
We're very happy to have you here today.
I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my goodness.
We, of course, slayed it on our first I Don't Think So Honey Live.
Thank you. I've been pulled aside and people have been like, I saw you at that show and loved it.
Oh my God.
You took
that and gave it to cats? I didn't know. And you know what? Also providing us information.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that. I turned that
into a whole bit. Because that was one of the first times I said that on stage.
Oh, amazing. Oh,
and I was like, oh, I see beats here. So I made it a joke.
Yeah. It's solid. Guys,
thank
go
you.
Back and listen to it.
Go
Four
back
cats,
and listen
by
to
cats.
It.
I don't think so, honey.
No.
Oh
no,
yeah.
No.
Should I explain what it is?
Yeah.
Please.
It was my I Don't Think So, Honey was about Frisky's cat food and how they have appropriated for us by us.
Mm-hmm.
they took it and said Four Cats by Cats, which doesn't make sense.
No.
Cats don't make the food.
Nope. They can't do nothing.
And they took away from FUBU, which is like a historically black owned, black provided. Clothing company.
Yeah.
And they gave it to cats.
Unbelievable.
And you know what? This is what I loved about the I Don't Think So, Honey. I love the educational aspect.
Yes.
And that's what I say to people that may be doing the next I Don't Think So, Honey, if there is one. I don't know.
Ooh.
We may have posted some cryptic things on Instagram as if we're Minions or something, the movie.
It's just a numeral. And a date. Who do we think we are?
I don't know. I just think it's so stupid.
It's so dumb.
When I did a show one time and I said to Bo and I was like, I want my name over the title like I'm Meryl Streep in Into the Woods. I just think it's funny to iconicize and you're nobody.
Yeah, but I feel like that's such a wink. Like people can't necessarily pick up on that.
I don't care.
This person's taking themselves too seriously.
That's true. Yeah, they might think it's sincere.
And this comes from someone with her name in the title of her show.
Oh, yeah.
Party Time with.
It's not even with. It's Sashir Zameda Party Time.
Yes.
My name is Sashir Zameda Party Time.
Lead with the name. You front load it. That's you know what?
Well, you got to know what you're getting.
That's
the big
selling point
every
is
show.
You.
Yes, you will.
Oh, my God.
There's no understudy for this-ish. Yeah.
Right. I mean, tell us about the show. We did it. It was so fun. But like,
so fun.
You're trying to like cultivate this like fun environment, right?
Yeah. It's like... Yeah. I want it to feel like a party. Yeah. Like, it's definitely a show. It's a variety show. And mm-hmm. there's stand-ups doing their stand-up acts. But it's kind of like anything can happen. Like,
right.
People have done characters. People have done like bits.
Yeah.
We have music. You guys came on and that was so, so fun.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just like a mix of things. I want the audience to feel like they are a part of the party instead of like a wall being there and they're like just yes. watching a performance. And yeah. we have party games where the audience gets involved and like there's kind of an underlying of truth in everything,
mm-hmm. yeah.
kind of everything I do really. But in this show in particular, like we have a game like Honest Jenga
okay.
where audience members wrote down questions on Jenga pieces and the performers will pull them and answer them honestly.
I That's love
genius.
It.
Yeah.
And are they all like kind of like big old truth questions, like they really ask you to confront yourself?
Yeah,
I love that.
So we, the first time we tried it, we got a lot of sex questions.
Yeah,
people were
imagine.
Like horny for some reason.
Ugh.
And then there was like a Trump question. This was Oof. Sometime shortly after the election. It was, I can't remember how they phrased it, but it was like, how could a person vote for Trump or something like that? And mm-hmm. I answered honestly because I was like, well, I could see why a person would. And like
yep.
talked about like people I know in my life who have had more conservative views and mm-hmm. and why I think they got to that point. And that's the kind of knee slapping entertainment you're gonna get at party time.
Honestly, yeah. I right after it happened, I was like, oh my God, when can we joke about this? Because it is so real. But now I'm ready to, if not laugh at the situation, because it is still very bad,
mm-hmm.
like at least see the humor in a lot of the truth, like you're saying. Like,
yeah.
I thinking about my relatives that voted for him, I'm like, wow, you really got duped. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It is funny.
I don't... Well, I mean...
it is funny.
I think.
It's funny.
I thought I had some distance from it, and then I was just in, like, central Virginia over the weekend. Oh, I was in Charlottesville.
Oh, nice.
It's my first time. So Shira went to UVA.
I did.
I was there because my sister's uncle and aunt-in-law
okay. mm-hmm.
have a lake house there, Lake Anna.
Oh, great.
I don't know if that rings any bells.
Looks
that
beautiful.
Must have been beautiful.
It,
yeah.
was, it was very nice, but it's Trump country.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of signs about how immigrants are stealing our jobs. Like, signs.
Signs
like,
about it.
To commute, like, just, like, on the side of the road next to, like, a gas station, next to, like, a Wegmans, and and it was, I thought I had some distance from it, and then just being, like, inundated with that, I was like, oh, no, this is still very fresh to me. I don't know, but, and you know what, to each their own.
Anytime you're not in a city, you're going to find that, I think.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
even on Long Island, where I'm from, it's like, most people.
Yeah.
I would say
most. We're
in a
bubble here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The bubble.
Yeah.
We know the SNL the sketch. Did you write
that? I was
that?
In that. Yeah. I didn't write it, but I was in it.
You were
it.
In it, really it yeah. Good. It was, that was one of the highlights, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought I loved it.
It was the first piece of significant Trump-era art that was
Wow. That was, and you know what? Yes. That was post-election,
it was
wasn't
post-election.
It? It was post-election.
Oh,
and
boy.
Yeah, it was like one of the few things we did that was kind of jabbing at
yeah.
Yeah.
The other side, the liberals,
yes.
instead of just...
Was that the week of Chappelle's episode? Was that the week right after the election or no? It doesn't
I don't
matter.
Think so. I can't remember. I think it was...
Pretty soon after. Right?
But it was yeah. like this... it was just a very, like, oh, like a whoa. Like, that's a funny way. That's, like, kind of the only way you can joke about this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's so soon. Anyway. Oh, my God. Sashir, we're going to ask you what we ask all of our guests,
mm-hmm.
which is, what was the culture that made you say, culture's for me, I want to step in a cultural direction?
Yes. You said, okay, I could get interested in culture
yes.
for sure. I could integrate that into my personal brand.
I think the culture that I was first introduced to and like stayed in my life the longest was Disney.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've come to the right place.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. I watched so many Disney movies and Little Mermaid was my favorite.
Yeah.
Yes.
I watched
yep.
it over and over again. But it wasn't until later when I was like, oh, this is kind of messed up because she just traded her voice for
a guy.
Literally a vagina. Like
yeah.
she was like, I'd rather have legs and a vagina and a man
yep.
than speak.
Yeah,
sure.
It's so, I actually like, I think it might have been even Sudi that brought that up to me. Like, because she was really the one who like took the like blind off my eyes and was like, look at, you're in the machine.
Yeah.
As she's wont to do. And she was like, think about Little Mermaid. She doesn't even have a voice. And I found myself trying to justify it. And I was like, nope, there's nothing there. There's nothing. She literally doesn't speak and he's in love with her.
Here's the thing. We can all have professor dads and librarian moms, Sudie.
That's true.
Some of us grew up on Disney and it was the only thing.
Or like a worldly perspective at all.
So, you know what? Matt and I are fucking zombies for Diz. And we love
they're still fun.
They're still fun.
You know what? You just have to, like, toss away, like, any like, of the corporate nonsense and just, like, have fun there because it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, did you go to the parks?
I did go to the parks. Mm-hmm. I remember going to, I think, Disneyland. And this obviously left an impression because I still remember it. But there was a water fountain that changed colors. Like, the water, when you drank it, like, the water that was coming out changed colors. Oh. And it took me years to realize it was a light.
It was light,
It was a light in there, but I was like, this water is changing colors.
You truly buy magic. Into it, and you're like, you're there.
Yeah. I went by myself a couple years ago.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I was in, around Orlando doing a show, and I was like, I have a couple days to kill. I'm going to the Grand Floridian, and
You booked a room at the Grand Floridian.
I did.
That's how you know.
Good for you.
You're like, not only am I going, I'm going to stay in the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, I'm really going. I went to Downtown Disney and saw a Cirque du Soleil show.
Yes. Yep.
I saw the Electric Light Parade.
Uh-huh.
I saw, I think the Animal Kingdom was closed, so I couldn't go to see the Jam and Juggle Parade, which, so I also worked at Disney.
Oh, you did?
Oh my God.
Oh, I need to know about that.
I think I knew this. Yeah. Okay.
I did the Disney College program.
Yes.
So it was like my third year of college and then, or like half a semester and a summer.
Uh-huh.
And I walked on stilts in Mickey's Jam and Jungle Parade.
In Orlando or in?
In Orlando. At
World.
Yeah, at World. And I also was the Sebastian puppet.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, my God. For the musical? For the live show?
For the live show, yeah. And we had these black light puppets. And we were all in black clothing and had, like, a shroud on our face. And then everything was dark. And we kind of had these puppets floating in the air. But we're just walking on stage.
Right.
And there was a door, an exit, that led straight out to the sun. So if anyone had a crying baby or, like, needed to leave for some reason, if they opened the door, you just saw all these adults walking on stage and holding puppets.
just starkly lit.
Just
that is
ruined,
like,
the magic.
The one thing that, like, it's so funny because, like, not realizing it's a light in the fountain, and then, like, one day you're like, oh, it's literally a fucking light. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being in Pirates of the Caribbean when I was little and looking up and being like, the sky is so dark and cloudy and black. It's, like, literally probably 20 feet up, and it's a ceiling.
Yeah.
You're just not looking, but that's part of the magic.
Still a convincing illusion.
Yeah.
They're good. I always call it theater.
Wait, Tashir, I totally forgot. You are actually very much a Disney, and even just specific to the parks, like Matt and I, huge part of our identity is that we fucking love the parks.
We love it.
And I think you are actually sort of like in the same sort of dumb cast, C-A-S-T-E cast of just the Disney park lovers. Would you say that's true?
Yes.
Okay. And nothing about being like, but no, every cast member at Disney World is like a total, like, follower, like, loyal.
They brainwash you.
They do brainwash, but, like, willingly, like, I would willingly be brainwashed. I've been brainwashed.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, I was into it, but I didn't realize it until I left how much they got in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What were some of, like, can you think of some, like, little things that they did to, like, worm their way in?
They said that, so the custodians are called shopkeepers. And they said, we have X amount of shopkeepers employed, but really we have 50,000 because all of you are responsible to keep this park clean because this is your home and you don't want your home to be dirty. So even when I was off duty, I would walk around the parks and see trash and be like, gotta pick it up. My house. And that is how it's so clean.
But that is actually brilliant operational stuff.
Truly.
It's like they're caring about, they're taking care of their employees who then take care of, like, your consumer, customer, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's actually very good business.
That makes a lot of sense. I've said on the podcast before, when I was there with my sister, we went up to the new Beauty and the Beast restaurant. I guess it's
Be Our Guest
restaurant. And you couldn't get a table. I mean, we booked a trip like one time 4 months in advance and it was booked. So my sister and I, not knowing this, like, years ago, went up and we're like, hey, can we get a table? And she was like, unfortunately, no, like, we're all booked up. I'm so sorry about that. We were like, totally fine. We stepped to the side. The people behind us asked the same question, did not react kindly, but the girl was still like, yeah, oh my gosh, I still hope you have a magical day, and it's so enchanting to meet you. And this is like, and I was like, how is she doing that? Because, like, literally, like, there's a certain basic human level where any of them would crack, but they don't crack.
They don't.
That's crazy.
How? Oh, although, no, okay. This is the one time I've seen a cast member crack, and it was very recently, a month ago.
You were just there.
Yeah, I was just there at the Animal Kingdom with me, Michael Hartney, Suni Tamani, Eric Gerson. We all went, and we went to Animal Kingdom. We went to go see, like, just not the Safari Zone, but it was just where they kept all the monkeys.
Uh-huh.
And, and then there were meerkats that aren't technically monkeys, but there were meerkats running around. And then Hartney, like, made a sound, like made, like, a whistling sound or, like a some sort of tongue-clicky sound.
At an animal.
And one of the cast members flipped out and was like, sir, you can't do that. Sir, you cannot make those noises at the meerkats because they will get very agitated because they are trying to do their jobs, which is to protect their families.
Whoa.
And we were all like,
my
God.
Oh, my God.
We were like, okay.
Unless that person, that was, like, their, like, role
sure,
to play.
I guess.
That's why one job.
They're one job. Fine. I mean, but it was a little...
It's crazy to see them act like humans.
Yeah.
I know. It was like being chastised in it. Like, that's never happened to me in a Disney park.
Meanwhile, at Universal Studios, they're like rolling their eyes at you.
Popcorn all over the floor.
Yeah, garbage.
Oh, my God.
I was at a Six Flags.
Oh.
And,
Trashville. And, not, that's not someone's home.
I was actually there with Josh Sharp, and we... saw a kid have a seizure. And it was the ride that, like, where you, like, sit and it kind of spins in circles around. It's
like
a centrifuge thing.
Yeah, it looks like
one of those.
Yeah, so we hadn't gone on yet, but we're, like, walking to
it. Oh my
it.
God, wait, the swings.
The swings, yes.
I was just there with him and he told me about this. He's a little Six Flags boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, they do have good rides.
Yeah, they're,
if you want
they're great.
Good fun rides. That's
you want the thrills, got on a bus.
You want the magic.
You go to the atmosphere.
Go. Yeah.
And the kid had a seizure.
He had a seizure and fell on the ground. And so, like, someone radioed somebody. But it was, like, it felt like an eternity before anyone got there. And it was, like, just a bunch of 16-year-olds. And I was, like, where's the medic?
Yeah.
The park cast member in me kicked in because it felt like if we were at Disney, this would have been handled like that. He would have been underground in a second because there's so many entrances all over the place. And, like, all you had to do is, like, hit a button or radio somebody.
Yep.
And then someone would have came with a cart because there is one close by.
Yes.
And then they would have taken you underground to where the medic is. And it's like, I was just so shocked that it was taking so long for this kid to be attended
to get helped in any way.
Yeah.
Tell this. This is so good.
This is a really quick story. This reminds me of a story that I just learned about very recently. We have this comedian. His name is He's wonderful. I saw him at a show one time in the last couple weeks, and he was wearing a Blizzard Beach shirt. And I was like, oh, my God, Blizzard Beach, Disney World. I love Disney World, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, my family gets to go for free once a year. And I go, oh, my God, that's amazing. What? Like, how did you guys get that hookup? And he was like, well, when I was young, when I was about, like, 10-something years old, my brother and I were at Blizzard Beach, and an umbrella fell on his head that, like, basically stabbed him in the skull on the top of a slide so that he was... So then he pulled it out and blood just spilled everywhere.
You can't believe.
And so immediately, like, just medics, Disney Park, like, cast members rushed up to him, took him to the hospital. And so, and this guy and his mom were just kind of, they just kind of left them there. And they, well, not that they left them there, but they had to slide down the bloody slide of his brother's blood. Got to the bottom. And then once they got out of the, like, a limo, they were escorted immediately to a limo. Disney paid for a limo to drive them to the hospital. And then once they get to the hospital, a pack of lawyers just have all this paperwork that's just like, sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here. Just like, you will not sue us. You will not, like, you know, just speak out against this to the media, whatever. And so they did. And then once they got back to their resort, there were just fruit baskets, gift baskets.
Yeah.
Like, every
swag.
Single swag from Disney. And oh, they get a free trip out of every year.
Every year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm just secretly a little jealous.
Oh, my God. I was saying to myself, I was like, would I take an umbrella literally in the head, like, maybe die to be able to go for free every year? And the answer is, like, maybe. Yeah, probably. I can't remember the pain now. Seems like it didn't do any long-term damage.
Well, yeah. What happened to him?
That's questionable.
I think he's fine.
Well, like very jokingly is
we
like,
also have to take his name out of this because he definitely signed like an NDA.
Oh my god, okay. You said his first and last name.
Later you said his job, you said his first and last name.
Oh my god,
threw Disney under the bus. We can't get this man killed.
And yeah, you know what, he will, a sniper will kill him.
There's no way.
All right, we're gonna bleep that out. Okay. Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
I'm mad at Disney now though.
Why?
I'm mad at them right now because of the Donald Trump Hall of Presidents thing. Have you heard about this?
No, what is it?
So you know how in the Hall of Presidents, there's the presidents.
Yeah.
And we know how, unfortunately, Donald Trump is the president. Mm-hmm. So they took it down, and they put the Obama automatronic in the back, and like where it goes now. And of course, now they have like the Donald Trump animatronic. So now it's like the whole back line of presidents, and Donald Trump is going to be like prominently displayed. And he is going to give like a speech. So there was like a movement that I may or may not have had a part in. I did make a change.org petition and it got over 15,000 signatures.
He sparked the movement.
So there was like people being like, he shouldn't speak. Like, we shouldn't have to listen to it.
No. Yeah.
Like, he's certainly unkind at the very least to say
he's
to
incoherent.
Immigrants. He doesn't, obviously he says what he says about women, about racial minorities, about like his actions towards the LGBT community. Just not for Disney.
Yeah.
So now they've come out and they said officially he is going to speak. Mm-hmm. And like he will be, there will be a section in it where he says his thing. Because they kind of caved because I guess, you know, Disney, they will have a lot of Trump voters rolling through there.
They will.
But
yeah.
It was pretty touch and go for a while because there were some articles that came out that were talking about how the White House wasn't cooperating. They weren't sending Disney any audio. And it went all the way up to Bob Iger, who's CEO of Disney, mm-hmm. who came out with a statement that was like, we are still discussing this. And then I was telling my brother-in-law about this over the weekend, and he's like, well, Bob Iger might run for president, which would be crazy. Like, the CEO of Disney being president might be great, but might be bad. I don't know. What do we think?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's the kind of man who sends in a car when you get impaled in the head and is like, sign here.
He runs a better business than the current president
That's
we have right
fair.
Now.
That is very much true.
That's fair. And he knows how to be a diplomat because of the World Showcase at Epcot.
He knows all the countries very well.
Very
he
well.
Knows all of them. All of nine. Them. It's so
he knows their food.
Yes.
Their drinks.
Their drinks. Their cocktails.
Their dress.
Their gifts.
The movie that's most closely associated with their country.
Mm-hmm.
I love
mm-hmm.
how they just took Norway and made it Frozen.
Yep.
Oh,
that
they
happened
did.
Too. Yeah. When's the last time you went?
I did go to Epcot when I went as an adult a couple years ago. I just did it quickly though. Mm-hmm. I didn't go all the way around the world.
It's a quick park.
Yeah.
Quick park.
Any like specific besides Little Mermaid, like Disney stuff that's like, and like your experience with the parks, obviously, but like favorite movie still Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though I know
nice
how it's bad for feminism.
Music is so good.
Maybe this is a better question. Rank, and we can all do this.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Here we go.
Rank top three.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Matt, you want to start?
Yes. I would love to start. Now, here's the thing. I have a number one, but I have a couple caveats with it.
Okay.
My number one is Pocahontas. Now, I know that it's troubling
sure.
because this is not the story of Pocahontas. Right. However, I like the story that it tells.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a revisionist,
mm-hmm.
but I do like it. However, it would have been a perfect movie had they not dumbed it down because actually Pocahontas was supposed to have a different ending and there was a song in the movie which was a love song between them.
If I Never Knew You.
If I Never Knew You, which is like when they've captured him and she goes to him in like the
The
tent that they're keeping him in, and they have this beautiful song together. And then when he leaves at the end because he's injured and she stays behind in America, there's this beautiful reprise of it, and it's just so gorgeous. And you can see on YouTube they have it. Like, if you ever want to, like, fill in this Pocahontas, it's on YouTube. And they use the storyboards to fill in the animated parts that they never did. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of hear it all through. And it's just really beautiful. So that would have been probably number one had they kept all that.
And they took that out because they tested it with kids, and they were bored.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Mm. Because they showed it to families, and they were like, our kid fell asleep at this part, which is to be understood because it's a very kind of serious, more serious Disney movie.
Yeah.
So I would say for that reason, that one's number two. For me, probably Lion King is number one. It's so it's so amazing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I would say maybe number three is The Little Mermaid or Mulan.
Mm. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Because
that's good. That's solid.
But then I'm thinking musical. I also love Monsters, Inc. Love Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Okay. But the fact that Monsters, Inc. is not a musical.
Oh, we're including Pixar in that.
I don't know.
Ooh,
mine's up for debate. Things. I have a lot of faves. Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin, for some reason, I never connected with them, though I did love the live action. Okay, I'm done. Oh, I have a lot of thoughts about Disney.
Okay.
I'll go really quickly, but this is tough. Wow, I asked a really...
It's a hard one. Hard. It's a culturista question.
Absolutely. Okay, number one. Number one?
Oh, my God.
Mulan. And not just because it's, like, culturally I connect to it, but because it's very...
But, yeah.
It's very feminist. It's very queer. It's
makes it is very
makes
queer.
Makes me cry every fucking time.
Yeah.
At the very end when he returns.
The father.
And he throws... Like, she hands him the sword, and he doesn't even look at it. He just tosses it aside and hugs her. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You'll get
emotional.
Me every time when you have a father telling their child, I'm so proud of you. Every time I'll be like, Daddy!
Absolutely. So Mulan's number one. Number two, this is a controversial one, but a well-documented one in my personal history.
Oh, God, no.
Wreck-It Ralph. It's so fucking good.
Wow.
Sarah Silverman, so fucking good.
Yeah.
Number three.
A talent. A true talent.
I don't think her character is canonized in the Disney princesses, but she plays a princess.
Oh.
And it's just a really good story about how she has to, like, fight for that title back. It's really, really, really great.
Love
And then number three, Lion King or Aladdin, because I connect to those. Or, three-way tie, which maybe I can't do.
I did a three-way tie.
Lion King, Aladdin, Little Mermaid. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Great.
Great. Okay.
What are you thinking here?
I have to change my number one because I forgot a movie.
Okay.
Because it's not like it's not a classic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But a Goofy movie.
Oh, great.
Wow. Great. Good one. Good.
Yeah,
good.
That's my fave for
sure. Stand up.
Oh, God. Yes.
The music.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Great music.
Yeah.
And
so good.
I had never seen a relationship that was tumultuous between a parent and a kid like that.
Yeah.
That was really
which
good
I
point.
Really connected to. Mm-hmm. Like seeing Goofy, who was just trying to be a good single dad. And
yes.
Max, who was, like, so over his dull, like, weirdo dad and wanted to be cool. And they, like, you know, they fought. He ran away. There was, like, a whole thing where it was, like, them really trying to make this work. And, I can't think of too many other Disney movies that do that, where it's, like, you really explore the relationship of the parent and the child.
Yes.
It's usually, like, someone's looking for the parent or the child or, like, you know, they're separated for a long time for some reason. But they were, like, together for most of it, and they were really... struggling, and I really loved that.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So that would be my number one. I think Little Mermaid still number two.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
It's iconic.
It's iconic.
Yeah,
I love it. And I mean, I really loved WALL-E.
Okay, yes,
I haven't seen that one.
Oh man,
I think it's got a good message.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was I thought it was really good and smart.
Yeah.
But also, I love Lion King.
The thing is, like, Lion King is one where I think if we were all to watch them all literally tonight, we would all in the morning say Lion King.
Probably, yeah.
We would be like, the thing is, guys, Lion King is
really
King.
The best, yeah.
The Circle of Life as an intro to a movie, and so then when it goes, boom, 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 and it says the Lion King over that sun, come on.
It's in that deep red, like, color font.
Yeah.
It's iconic on every level, and they don't try that hard anymore.
No. I did rewatch. I skimmed through Moana again last night. And guys, I still don't know. I need to give it another chance. I think Matt and I saw when we were sort of
tired. Mm-hmm. We were tired.
Let's put it that way. We were tired, and maybe I need to give it another chance.
But you just said you tried to.
Yeah, I watched it once and I was into it truly until the end when I was like, now too many things are happening. I don't know what's going on. I guess she's a mountain. Like, it was like yeah. too many
for
metaphors.
Sure, someone became a mountain.
I was
yeah.
like, what's literal? What's actually happening?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It That's was a fair. Little too much.
Thank you so much. And guys, I mean, do not come for any of us, but some people on this very show, on this recording, have come for me and Matt because of our
controversial views.
Controversial
views,
on,
views
Moana.
On Moana. I just don't, I wanted it to be so much better than it was. I will say, now listing all these classics, I have to say, Frozen is not up there.
I don't think so.
It's really no. not.
I enjoyed it, but
same.
Yeah, yep. It's not up there for me.
Isn't it crazy what a phenomenon, though? Like, what was it about it? Like, I guess, because, and then I think a lot of it was the song, but, like, that's one of those situations where the piece of culture that just takes over in a way, and you're kind of like,
what?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Let It Go's good, but that song is the reason, I think, why that movie was so big. It was like a My Heart Will Go On level.
Yeah, yeah.
Take over the culture moment.
Yeah, something about those specific notes.
Yeah.
Really hit hard with kids.
Yeah, it's like a spell.
Yeah.
But then, like, the kids, like, took over that, like, zeitgeist moment, which, like, doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very much a child-led moment.
Yeah, it was a revolution. Parents were like, I don't know, they like it.
Like, I don't know what to do.
I guess we'll love it, too. Yeah. Yeah. We have to.
Yeah.
I did watch that and then Brave in a row on a plane and was so empowered.
Like, yeah, yeah, so for
much,
sure.
So much girl power in both those movies. And I really did like that in Frozen.
Yeah.
It was, like, these two sisters. And no one fell in love.
No. Right.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that they weren't like, and then she marries this man, and then she found my, like, Elsa truly was alone. She didn't even have an option for a significant other. And I was like, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Her journey was entirely individual.
Yeah.
And even like Anna and Kristoff at the end, it's just like, oh no, they'll like hook up.
Yeah.
But they're not getting married.
They're just like, yeah. And I also love that they called it out early too when she was like, I'm getting engaged. And everyone's like, you don't know this person. You need to like chat with them a little longer. What are you doing?
I did love that.
I like that. I do think that Frozen has a lot of great elements, but I feel like, I don't know why, what's like not congealing. Oh, I will say, just to get back to Lion King before we go on a quick break, one of the best live things I've ever seen was the Lion King live show at Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom, yes, Festival of the Lion King.
Yes, Festival of the Lion King. It was amazing. Like, I wasn't even like drunk or anything. I was just so happy. Like, the acrobats in it are incredible. Oh my God. It's just,
yeah, they're the top of their game.
Top of
Disney
their game.
Disney has amazing talent.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the thing, is it's like, and then I was also thinking, why do they take it so seriously? How are they not breaking? Because when you live in Orlando, there's no bigger than that.
No.
I mean, there's no bigger than Disney World. Like, booking like Indiana Jones in that show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's like a big part. You get seen by thousands
of people.
People.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Every day.
That's not a bad gig.
No.
Like,
I remember, because they have stilt dancers in the Festival of Lion King, and they could only be men, because the stilts were longer and heavier, and so they were like, oh, I guess only men could lift them.
I don't know.
I don't know. I wasn't allowed to try it.
That sucks.
But at the time, only men were cast in those parts.
I smell a petition. I will start.
And you know that we're very we're aching to go on those change.orgs. It kind of disappointed me that the movement I started just died.
But you know what?
It went far. It sounds like
it went far. It made news, and I was never like, well, some of the news articles did mention my name, and I kind of felt like, oh shit, it was like kind of a joke in the beginning, and then it became more. But then, like, in the latest round of news, which has been the announcement that he is speaking, they haven't really mentioned it. So I'm hoping that, like, it kind of just goes away.
It will. Don't worry about it.
He should just be like huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bigly. Like,
Bigly.
Just like,
it's
repeating words over and over
again. I'm sure. Well, this is actually what the controversy was they were like, we'll write for you what we want you to say, and then you'll record it. We'll fly to the White House and we'll record it with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, no, he's going to write down what he says. And they were like, that's not
we don't
how
trust that.
That this works.
Yeah.
Like,
so what do they end up doing?
I think they did eventually get to a place where, like, he's going to have the okay on what they write. So they'll write something super innocuous and very much like, America for years has been great. And it'll be like that, and he'll like be like, okay. Because, I mean, can't let him write it. You can't trust him.
What presidential thing could he possibly write himself?
It's shocking.
America first. Countries don't laugh at us anymore.
Oh my God. American carnage. Whatever. Okay. Before we go on a quick break, let's read out a user-submitted rule of culture.
Yes. Now this is a new segment.
This is a new segment. So every week we're going to take in new suggestions for rules of culture. Just either tweet them at us, comment on our Facebook page. This one today comes from Kelly Briscoe.
Kelly Briscoe, who has decreed that rule number 37, and this really touched me,
absolutely.
The Kelly Clarkson version is the definitive version.
I'm looking at you, Hamilton. I'm looking at you. It's Quiet Uptown.
Thoughts on Kelly, Sashir?
I love her.
Yes.
She's so great.
Yeah. Right.
Great voice. And yeah, I usually like her covers better than...
Almost always.
Almost always,
there
yeah.
you go.
And that is a thing with her. Actually, I recently... Today, I listened to Since You've Been Gone.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, her original music hasn't been like this good in a long time. Where now she's like doing the covers, but also now she's going to be on her new label.
Sure.
Oh, that's good.
She's on her new label and she's releasing a soul record, as she calls it.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's what she
that's
is.
That's what we need.
And that's the thing is, it's like Kelly Clarkson, this is so classic that the whole first half of this episode has been Disney and Kelly Clarkson. You got to understand. But Kelly Clarkson, she will always come back in the news because she's a fierce singer.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to nail My Country Tis of Thee at the Obama inauguration. She's going to make you cry on American Idol singing that piece by piece song.
Yep, yep, yep.
Like, she's always going to be back in the news for having a great voice.
Yeah.
I do, and this is not, I'm not going to say devil's advocate because I hate that, but... What other covers of hers are definitive besides... All I can think of is It's Quiet Uptown, her Christmas album, and then what else?
Well, she does in her tours.
At her concerts, yeah. She always says
that's right.
Other people's songs.
That's so true.
I can't think of one off the top of my head, but it's usually like, here's a Katy Perry song, or here's a...
And she destroys it. She sang Wide Awake one time by Katy Perry. She's like, I like this song. And she... It was so much better than Katy Perry version.
I'm sure.
She even did Lose Yourself by Eminem. She'll do any song, and she can sing any style.
Any style.
Like, yeah. She'll... I remember, like, I went to the concert where she... It wasn't a cover, per se. It was, like, a throwback.
Uh-huh.
And she performed this old big band song she did on Big Band Week on American Idol called Stuff Like That There, which actually was performed in a movie by Bette Midler or something. It's, like, a very, like, for the troops, for the boys song.
Uh-huh.
But it's so good. And she sings it, and you feel like you're in 1940 Goddamn 2.
Okay. 1940 Goddamn 2.
So the Kelly Clarkson version is the definitive version.
Thank you so much. Kelly Briscoe, that's rule number 37. The Kelly Clarkson version is the definitive version. Let's go on a quick break.
Well, wait, can I say one more rule that I think we've decided?
Yes, okay.
Is rule number 109. When you wake up in the morning, it's the Lion King.
After a marathon.
I'm Alyssa Edwards, tongue clicking.
Guys, you heard it here first. Okay, we'll be right back with Sashir.
Yay! Yay! And we are back. Discussing eating on the mic.
Yeah.
Thoughts, Bo?
Well, I mean, so Matt very generously poured his, what are these, pretzel M&Ms?
Plug it.
Plug it.
Pretzel M&Ms.
Sponsor?
Sponsor.
Honestly, why not? Come on, M&Ms.
Is that Nestle?
No. No, I think M&M is their own company.
Mars?
Oh, no, I think M&M is Mars.
Really?
Oh, wait, no, M&M is, yeah, they've got their own store.
They got their own company. They got their own store.
Yeah.
Did you know this? Maybe I've said this before. Maybe you don't know this, Sashir. The M&M store in Times Square is the single most visited tourist destination in America.
Really?
Yes.
I don't believe that.
It is, because you have to do the math. Times Square is the most visited tourist destination in the country.
Okay.
The spot in Times Square that gets the most visitors is the M&M store, which would mean that's true.
Would you count like the TKTS booth? What's the location? I don't know.
I think in terms of people that walk through the door.
Okay.
Yeah, there's the person clicking or whatever. Or they know somehow. I don't know if there's someone clicking. But that's what they say. That's what I'm told to say on the ride.
Oh, there you go. So Matt knows.
I would believe that there is more people going through the M&M store than through TKTS because
sure.
not everyone has money to buy tickets for Broadway.
You're so right. Precisely.
Or you have too many people in your crew and you're like, oh, the M&M store is free. We can just walk through
Let's
there.
Let's just walk through it.
Yeah.
Grab some M&Ms and leave.
You're so right. TKTS was a bad example. That was just me like sort of
No,
generic.
But in fact, sure. I ask people that as a trivia question on the ride and a lot of people guess the TKTS steps.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, no, because... Yeah, it's not
it's
a thing.
It's just like you just don't do anything there, but you can go and look at shit at the M&M store.
I try to think all the time if I was a tourist, what I would be most excited about New York. And I do think, like, if you didn't know anything more than Times Square, you would
just go, to
go
the M&M
there.
Store.
You know what I mean? And you'd be like, yeah, I guess I went to the M&M store.
I mean, the one in Vegas is pretty good, too. Try it. M&M's is distributed by Mars Chocolate North
I
America.
Knew it.
Did you come to New York a lot growing up?
No.
Was it a foreign place?
It was a foreign place. My, oh my gosh. The amount Disney is connected to my life.
I
crazy.
Love
come on,
it.
Come on.
I live for it.
The first time.
I didn't know that about you.
The first time I was in New York was to audition to be a big band jazz singer for Tokyo Disney.
Wow.
And this was during college. It was after the college program was over. And I was like, I already have a Disney in. And I was like on some email listserv where they sent out castings for different shows. So I was like, this will be my post-grad move. I'll go to Tokyo for a year and then figure it out after that.
Wow.
And I took a Chinatown bus. And so I was at Charlottesville.
Yeah.
Drove to D.C., took a Chinatown bus up to New York.
Uh-huh.
And then my mom had a friend who lived in Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And then took like a bus to Jersey. Stayed with her for the night, then went back into the city in the morning.
That sounds horrible.
Ripley Career Studios.
Oh, wow. We know it. We love it. We booked it.
And, I was so green, too. I, like, had a black and white glossy of myself. And then, like, 8x11 sheet of paper for my resume, paper clipped together. And then there was a singing portion and a dancing portion.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'll dress for the dancing portion, but cute. So I had like, I don't know, like a pink t-shirt and some yoga pants.
Yeah.
And
But cute.
But I didn't, and then everyone else was dressed to the nines. I didn't realize you dress up for the singing portion. If they ask you back for dancing, then you change.
Oh.
So everyone's like looking cute. And I'm like, looking like I'm about to do yoga.
You're dressed to move.
And then I went in there and I sang. What did I sing?
It wasn't Disney.
Oh, I'm
Disney
sure. Yet? No, it was. Ironically, it wasn't Disney.
That's fine. That's probably a better choice.
Yeah, but I think I sang "Open Arms."
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm so thankful for that.
That was like my audition song, and
that's a good one.
I was gonna say, did you have like a song?
That was my song. Yeah, and of course, the piano player was going slower than I wanted him to.
Oh, what a dredge that song is.
And yeah, it was fine. And they were just like, thank you. And I was like, okay, that's all right. But that's not how it's supposed to go. Because
I put
all my eggs in this basket.
I'm sure I booked.
Yeah. And then I left and had to like change my clothes. I went to Forever 21 in the area to change my clothes, crying on the phone with my dad. Just like, I didn't get it.
Oh, my God.
And then... Oh, God, it was such a rough journey. Then I took a bus back to D.C. I didn't look where I parked my car, like if the garage was 24 hours or not. I just assumed it was 24 hours. Uh-huh. It wasn't.
Oh,
so I was there
no.
at 1 in the morning, couldn't get my car out. I had to call my ex-stepmom, who lived in Odenton, Maryland, and like have her tell me how to get to the train at Union Station to take it to her place.
The ex-stepmom, even.
Yeah, I mean, who was still in my life, but like... She didn't have to answer
right.
the phone at
Not
1 in the morning.
Obligated.
Yeah, I didn't tell her I was even going on this journey. So she's like, why are you in D.C.? And then I had to go back the next morning to get my car. It was like $140 because they charge you hourly.
Oh,
and then
God.
Drove back to Charlottesville and like went to class.
Oh, my God. So, UVA, did you do improv?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I started a group.
Amuse-bouche.
Yeah. Oh,
you started the group?
I started the group with Natasha Vainblatt.
Wow. That's some trivia.
Sam Taggart.
And
was
Sam Taggart was one of our first recruits.
Oh, incredible.
I mean, UVA, like, like great breeding ground, I think.
We pump them out.
That's how you and Sam know each other. You're friends from way back from going to school.
Yeah.
Oh, and you've been tight with Natasha for years.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Natasha Vainblatt is one of the most talented people I think I've ever seen perform on stage. I recently saw her do a character set, and I was just like, this is...
And I had seen her do a variation and iteration of the set before, but I could tell that she just plotted every laugh, tweaked it, tightened it. It was perfect.
I love her. Yeah. So did you guys do sketch together, too? Was it improv?
Just improv.
Okay.
Nice. And that's, I mean, because... So I was a year older than her, mm-hmm. and... But, you know, we're almost the same age. Yeah.
Of course.
And
you guys are 17 and 16 now.
Yep.
Exactly. And I knew that she had done improv since she was a teenager because she was doing comedy sports in Richmond before even got to UVA. So she was, like, already on it. But, like, I auditioned for the one improv team that was at our school, the Weathermen.
Uh-huh.
W-H-E-T.
Okay.
The Weathermen.
Oh, and come on. Weathermen?
Weathermen.
That's stupid.
You're really... Okay.
Thank God for a moose
casting
boosh.
Casting a wide net. Okay, so...
We needed a moose boosh.
Audition for Weathermen.
And then... I feel bad when I do this because I'm not trying to shit on the Weathermen. I'm sure they're fine.
Yeah. They're great.
But yeah, so I auditioned, didn't make the group. Natasha auditioned three times, didn't make it. And I was
horrible.
Like, this is unjust. This makes no sense because she's like the funniest. She's the funniest.
Yes.
And so then I was like, you should start a group. She's like, we should start a group. And then we started a group.
That's beautiful.
Unbelievable. Yeah. You know who did the same thing at NYU? Sudi.
Really?
Yes. Sudi also didn't make the improv group at NYU, despite being Sudi.
Yeah.
And, oh, she stood out to me.
And she had been taking, she had been doing improv.
In Delaware,
like, years prior. So she had a lot of experience, was a real vet, and, like, so much incredible natural talent. And she didn't make it. And so they started a group at NYU called Captain Soldier. Mm-hmm. Now you got people from that group on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
You got people...
Williamstown,
you know, doing the thing.
Oh, good.
They became, like, the theatrical improv group.
You just have to have more variety.
Yeah.
You can't just have one.
No.
We, for a long time, had one sketch group at NYU and one... improv group, and it was like there should be more,
and it felt gross for me on the during audition season to be like, we're so sorry, but then we would tell people like we are not the only game in town. You can take classes at UCB, or you can start your own group, and then people did that, and then it just was all the better. I mean, the whole community was all the better for it.
Good.
So you know what?
Did that like define your college experience a little bit? Like,
truly, and I think I am very appreciative about how UVA. Kind of fostered a student-run environment. Mm-hmm. They're like, if you see a void, you can fill it. That's how I felt anyway.
Amazing.
And I did that. It was like, oh, I want another improv group. Started an improv group. I revived like a all-black theater company.
Oh,
like there was like so many things that I was just able to like do because I was like, oh, now that I did it once, I know how to do that now.
And it's kind of all you need when you quote-unquote start out is just like, that like seed crystal thing of just being like, oh, I can actually do this and not be, you know, a wreck at the end.
Yeah.
And,
doesn't hurt to have people next to you that actually hold you accountable for that. Like, I'm sure having Natasha there helped as well because it's like, no, we want this. I'm not the only person that wants this.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I would have done it by myself.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But because she was there, I felt secure.
That's great.
So, like, were the audiences, did the college campus turn out for the shows?
They did, yeah.
I'm sure.
At first, it was a little weird because it was like, who are these people?
Who is a moose boosh?
Yeah, what's this new thing? And then we tried to do shows with the Weathermen, like make a joint thing. Like, oh, it's fine that we're all here together, but there was a little bit of like a
I love
there
it.
Always
new
is.
Kids tension.
Yep, yes.
Yep.
But then we didn't need to. Then we started getting our own audiences. On our own.
Love it.
The spinoff.
And then Sam started like a sketch group out of that.
Uh-huh.
Like other things started spawning from the group.
Yeah.
And now I think there's a ton of comedy at UVA.
Yeah. Did you guys travel as a group?
I don't. We did. We went to
Skidmore? No.
What? We went to some festival. I want to. Oh, we went to the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Famous.
We did do that.
Well, what's that theater there called?
Theater 99. No, that's not.
DSI.
DSI. Theater 99 is in South Carolina.
Is in Charlotte.
No, Charlotte.
Charleston. Sorry. Oh, my God.
Charlottesville, Charleston, all these.
I was in Charlottesville and Charlotte in the same day because I was flying back and forth. I was like, the South is confusing.
And you didn't turn to sand?
I didn't turn to sand. Anyway.
And I feel like there was somewhere else we went to. But yeah, we did all the festival classes and then we would like take notes and then come back together and share what we learned with each other.
How did we get better?
It was actually really cool. I mean, like, we truly were just teaching ourselves what to do. And we would watch, like, ASCAT videos and UCB stuff and just, like, really take turns being like, well, I know this. I want to do this. And then we would teach stuff.
So then you moved to New York. And what I want to ask you is I want to ask about the origins of Doppelganger.
Yeah.
Because when I was a student at NYU and first taking classes, Doppelganger was it. You guys were it.
Aww.
So can you talk a little bit about Doppelganger?
Well, when I moved to New York, it was in 2009, and I was taking classes very quickly because I fell in hard. And then I met Nicole and Keisha through the diversity program at UCB. And we would have like meetups and like pizza parties and jams and stuff.
This is Nicole Byer and Keisha Zollar.
Yeah.
Yes.
And who are also two black female improvisers. And we all auditioned for Herald Night. And you have to, like, take up to 401, get pass, and then audition. The spring of, I guess, 2010, none of us made it. And I had already been performing with Nicole separately from Keisha, but with both. Kind of by accident, actually, because I had another one person from my improv group in college moved to New York before I did. And he was like advanced already. So he was like, here's what you do. You find people you like early on in your classes and keep them with you and then create a group.
That's going to
be.
Yeah. And in my 201 and 301 classes, there was this one girl who I really, really liked, but I didn't like anybody else, so held on to her, and I was like, well, what if we just start just the two of us, and then if we want more people, we'll add more people, and we would have these, like, insane long practices where we had no coach, just in my living room with a camera facing us, and we would record it,
then
watch it back. We were insane.
I love that. That is insane, but it's also, like, once you get past that, it's like, okay, well, nothing will faze you. If you can watch yourself do uncoached improv in your living room and, like, get through that, then, like, you can do anything.
We were just obsessed. And then we like, watched T.J. Miller and
Dave. Oh, my God. What's his last name? T.J. and Dave.
T.J. and Dave.
Yes.
We watched their movie that they have.
And
then we watched them live whenever they came to the Barrow Street Theater.
Oh, those are such good shows.
Yeah. We were obsessed.
You were obsessed with improv.
And with two-person improv in particular. And then we did a show that Nicole's improv group was hosting at, I can't remember what the venue was. And my partner flaked. And I can't remember what the reason was, but she just couldn't make it. And so I told Nicole, and she's like, oh, well, I have been in a jam with you before. I can just perform with you. And so we did it, and it was great. And it was kind of like a date where we were like, do you want to do this again sometime?
Oh, my God. That is so Abbott and Costello of you guys. Yeah. You know that's how they met.
Oh, no.
Their partners didn't show up, and they jumped on stage together.
Yeah. And then the exact same thing happened with Keisha's group because she was hosting a show. And then and my partner was supposed to come, and she was like, sorry, I can't. And then I was like, Keisha, this thing. And she was like, oh, I'll just do it with you. We did it. It was great. So then the two of us – I had two separate groups going.
Oh, wow.
And then that partner moved to LA and like we stopped performing together. But, you know, I actually am thankful because it made me meet these two incredible performers. And then after we all found out that we didn't make Herald Night, both of them at the same time in separate emails were like, all right, we need to work harder. We're going to have our own show. We're going to kick ass. And I was like, this is so wonderful. I cannot split my time two ways. What if we try to make a threesome? Let's bring it all together. And so we had a show at the Creek booked. I think maybe me and Keisha had it booked already. And I was like, come on, Nicole. Like, you'll just jump in. We never practiced or rehearsed. Wow. We just like did a show together. And we're like, let's just see how it goes. And it was magical.
Yes.
And we were like, this is it. And then that was it. And then we just like rehearsed all the time. Ashley Ward was our coach for a long time.
Ashley Ward.
Amazing. Yeah. And yeah, we just like started going to cage match tournaments and like and performing and beating a lot of groups. Like I was in a 401 class. And Brandon Gardner was my teacher and was in one of the groups that we beat.
Yes, that is a famous story. I love that story. And then for me, like the moment was just like, well, Amy Poehler saw them and thought that they should be on Herald or whatever. Like there was just a moment where it all sort of came to a head, and like it was just like the momentum had built up so much that it was just like, yeah, like get these people.
They were the talk of the town.
Yeah, that's how, I mean, SNL found out about us because Anthony King, who was the
AD
at the time, called them up and was like, hey, here are these funny ladies who are consistently on our stage. Come see them.
Yeah.
And one of the producers came to one of our shows where we did really well and was like, you guys should send tapes and packets. And so we did that. And we were so green, had no idea what we were doing.
Absolutely.
But we did them. And then I think we did that for a couple years. Uh-huh. And then Nicole went in to test like 2013 or something.
Uh-huh.
And then the whole, you know, lack of diversity blog took over at the end of that year. And then I tested the end of, like, December of 2013.
Uh-huh.
And then got cast January 2014.
Right. So that was a very quick process.
Yeah.
So that must have been kind of insane from, like, getting, like, oh, they saw you and they liked you. Submit a packet. Oh, all of a sudden it's the audition.
It was like a few years in between and the last chunk of me getting on the show was very quick. But like, there were a couple years where we're just submitting stuff over the summer like everyone else does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And being like, yeah, probably not. But there, it's in the atmosphere. Yeah. Bye.
I mean, and the last time I was submitting was, I was like, this is going to be the last time. Like, I was like, if it's not this year, it's not going to happen. And I remember putting together a practice tape to send to my manager and be like, let's just prepare for next summer when they usually do it.
Right.
And I was like, give me notes and let me know what you think. And this was maybe like, I don't know, November or something. And they were like, can we send this to them? Because they need it now. They're looking for a black girl right now. And I was like,
oh my God.
Oh, wow. Sure. I don't think it's ready, but okay.
It was a practice tape. I mean, okay, yeah. I guess. Oh.
And then we did a showcase like maybe that week or the next week that I felt very good about. And
at the pit, right?
At the pit,
I remember they emailed out. They were like, you need to come support.
Yeah. We need bodies to fill the seats.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
And then maybe that week or the next week we did the test, and I remember Leslie Jones was before me, and I could hear how much they were laughing, and I was like, "That's cool, cool. I'm good."
Yeah.
And then I did that. I kind of blacked out in that performance.
I would imagine.
Oh my God.
But I left feeling like that's the best I've ever done anything.
Yes.
And I was like, if they want it, that's great. If not, that's on them. And that's like such a nice feeling to be like,
the best when you
I can't even think
like
of
that.
A thing to fix. Yeah. I was like, that is the best I could have done.
Wow.
And it paid off.
Yes. Oh my God.
Oh, I love that.
So does he call you on the phone?
I did get a call on the phone. Yeah.
Wow. That's huge. Nuts. That's going to be like, what?
Yeah. It was like, they let me know. They said that they would let me know before Christmas break.
Uh-huh.
They didn't.
Ah.
They didn't.
So then you think, oh, okay, well, it's not a thing.
Well, I knew it. They didn't pick anyone because I hadn't heard anything. Right. So I was like just waiting. Also, I was trying to move to LA at this time. I
remember this.
You had moved.
And you actually moved. Like, and then you had to come right back.
Yeah.
You almost had.
I had an apartment in LA and I was getting rid of stuff. I was looking for cars. But I didn't let go of my New York apartment because I was like, I don't know. don't know.
Oh my God.
So I like, but I already put down like a deposit and stuff on this other place. It was like annoying the people who were living there because they were like, do we need to find a new roommate? And I was like, I legit don't know. I can't.
Don't ask me again. You're stressing me out.
Yeah. I was like, I know you're stressed, but I am very stressed right now.
Yeah. I'm probably more stressed than you are.
Wait.
Yeah.
Now I'm remembering the first time I met you was in Story Pirates training.
Oh, yeah.
We did. Sashira and I originated.
Yes.
The story called 19.
Yes.
Oh,
we did.
My God. An amazing
which
story.
Which is about a boy whose birthday is in 19 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And there's a dance. Story.
Yeah. Very easy dance.
A very easy dance.
It's just a countdown from 19 to...
Was his name just Boy?
I think his name was, what's his name?
Oh, I don't remember.
Or it was like, I'm blank. I'm a boy.
Yeah, that was like a very story parts thing. Yeah. It's like, hi, I'm a boy. And it's going to be my birthday in 19 days.
Oh, my God.
And then it heightened to like the Secret Service coming in. I don't know. Crazy.
Yeah, kids' minds. I was looking forward to story pirates so I could do it in LA and like have a thing and like meet people and make a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
And you got swept up?
I got swept up.
Other things just happened.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Darling.
I just remember like the euphoria when you got cast.
It was just
so amazing, and I mean after all this, you should be so proud.
Thank you so much. I am proud. Cool. Yeah,
you should be. It was so, you were so fucking good. It was so cool to see.
I mean, I have to say, like, there's that when it was announced that you were the one, it was like everyone you spoke to was like, yes, so excited and happy for you, because we all looked up to you for so long. I mean, like, like Doppelganger was it. It was it.
Honestly, option the rights to a Doppelganger movie. I would watch that.
I'd rather that than Don't Think Twice.
Oh, well, come on. I like Don't Think Twice.
I did it.
But I would maybe rather.
You don't have
rather
to say anything, Sashir. You don't have to incriminate yourself. I didn't like it. I thought it painted the community in a really ugly light.
I liked it just fine. I would rather watch a Doppelganger movie.
Same.
There you go.
And maybe original cast. Maybe. Come on. Why not?
Maybe. Why not?
It's a pretty great narrative.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Talk to the girls about it.
Talk to the girls. The girls are around. In fact,
Keisha Zollar.
Forever
Doc's sister.
Forever Doc's sister. I was gonna drop a hint about something Keisha might be involved in soon.
Okay, well that's enough.
But that's all I can say about that.
Hot producer Alex is giving us a look. He's saying
hot
no.
Hot producer Alex. Oh man, you know who's not here? Hot producer Joe. Hot to producer steam Joe. Up the place.
But we've got hot engineer Ronnie here.
Hot engineer Ronnie. And let me say, I apologize to Sashir when she came in, because usually he's pumping the good jams.
Don't apologize.
No, I apologize.
Ronnie doesn't have to play the music every time.
He does.
Oh my God.
And I would say Carly Rae Jepsen's usually playing. Do you like the new Lord? You do. He says yes.
Oh, wait,
are you enjoying the new Lord?
I am enjoying it, yes.
It's very good. Ronnie, so good. What do both of you, Ronnie and Sashir, what do both of you think about the new SZA? Have you listened to SZA?
I haven't heard this.
So good.
Yeah.
I was going to have that on.
Oh my God.
Oh, man.
Hot engineer Ronnie nails it every time.
He was going to have that on.
It's okay. But we know what he would have played.
Yeah.
Gagging for Lord. Also.
Heim.
Yeah.
Heim.
Obsessed.
So good.
And really wasn't obsessed with their first album. I thought it was, like, good. I was like, yeah, this is a good band.
Uh-huh.
Something's Long Forgotten. When they released that video and they were just walking on the street, have you seen the video for the song?
I haven't, no.
Oh, so
you guys, culture of the week. The music video for Want You Back by Heim.
It's pretty.
It's just, honestly, it's three girls walking down a street, which is all I ever
need.
It's
pretty great. And with some...
Literally.
They take out... It's what they don't do that's special. Just it'll make sense when you watch it.
I'm pointing to him.
Thank you.
with the knowledge of a true culturista.
And Little of Your Love is their other single.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And also rule number 50 of culture. It's what they don't do
that
makes it.
That's it.
It's what they don't do that makes it.
It's what they don't do that makes it. Oh my God. I think it's time. I think it's time for...
I don't think so, honey.
Okay.
Okay, so this is, as you know, the pièce de résistance of our show. Right, though, Bo?
Right, though.
And we have a true culturista who just slayed it the first time. So
she did.
I'm excited to see what she brings.
Yeah.
But
now,
are
you prepared?
I kind of touched on this earlier, so I feel like the novelty of the discussion will be worn off a little bit. I'm going to switch gears.
I love a progression. Okay, do you?
Okay, but how about you go first?
I would love to go first.
Okay, so do you want me to set the time
for
you?
I don't think so, honey. As you may or may not know, is our 1 minute to rail against culture. I'm very excited about the future of I Don't Think So, Honey.
Whatever could you be talking about?
I don't know what I'm talking about, but soon. Get ready to get online. Like, you're buying tickets to a Beyonce concert, but maybe buying tickets to something else. Hot producer Alex is like, shut up.
No, he's fine.
You moron.
This is Matt Rogers. I don't think so, honey. time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Chris Harrison. Because let me tell you something. I'm watching The Bachelorette, and you don't host. You barely come out. You're never on the show. If you're ever on that show, it's to say, Rachel, how are you? Well, I understand. Walk in the next room. And then everyone is always talking about like you, like you're going to be the one to come in and fix things. Like, well, tell Chris how you feel. Bitch, you are a receptacle for nothing. And I can see in your eyes there's nothing there. And also, Chris, I don't think so, honey, because I know who you really are.
30 seconds.
Because I've met you, Chris Harrison. Whoa. And you shook my hand like Donald Trump. You tried to assert dominance over me, but with the pull. Chris Harrison, I don't think so, honey.
It's on TV.
You are not hosting that show. You're getting a check.
15 seconds.
Everyone that tells me they love Chris Harrison, they have a crush on his Harrison, they love him, I'm like, why?
Ah!
Why? What is it about him? You are like the basic girls on that show. Just kidding. I love Rachel Lindsay. Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
She's amazing.
Go. It's hashtag team Brian.
Okay. Then that's 1 minute. Hashtag team Brian.
All I'm saying is, look, you know, you want to see hosting? Watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
There you go.
You want to see hosting? Watch Survivor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You want to see hosting? Watch So You Think You Can Dance.
Those are your three. Those are your three exemplary.
Ms. Kat Dealey.
Ms. Kat
Dealey. Slaying it on that show.
Honestly, give me some Nick Cannon. I love it when Nick Cannon hosts.
I'm not a Nick Cannon fan.
Okay. Your team Mariah.
He smells like crazy to me.
Okay. All right. That's fair. All right.
But that's my I Don't Think So, Honey. And do you watch The Bachelorette?
No.
But you were, you played an amazing Rachel Lindsay.
Thank you very much. I watched
Oh my God, yes, I love that,
that
sketch. I love that sketch.
She's amazing. She's an icon.
She seems just way better than everybody on the show.
She's so dope. She is really good.
No one's really deserving of her time.
I am buying into it so much because I love her. There is a film.
What's the deal with a puppet?
Okay.
The puppet's gone.
First of all, the guy is still in.
No.
No, the guy is still in. Adam. He brought like a little, like crazy, like one of those scary dolls.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the guy is still in. He's in the top six.
Oh my God.
But they were like, you gotta get rid of the puppet.
No, the puppet still makes a cameo appearance every now and then.
They love the puppet. The producers love the puppet. They give him his own lower third. They give him his own confessionals. It's nuts.
Right now,
it's
there's
weird.
Remaining in the show is one guy who has the puppet and one guy who came in like a full like mask.
Wait, who is this?
Matt is his name.
Okay.
He came in and he had like a full like mask on, and that was his like entrance.
Is the guy who said once I go black I can't go back? Still
yes,
on?
He's still there.
But he's like the fan favorite.
But he's actually literally
so good,
and I think he's gonna be the next Bachelor. His name's Dean. You could tell they made him say that.
I know.
You could 100% tell they made him say that.
Yeah.
And
he's gorgeous. And he's gorgeous. He seems really nice.
So cute and so sweet and so nice. And he is like I was talking to my sister about this today because I'm fully in Bachelor Nation now. I texted her and I was like, he is the only one that's like a star like she is. Like,
yeah.
I can see a couple of the other guys winning because they have better chemistry and they're like, whatever.
But this guy is
a brand. Like, Dean is like a brand.
He's so adorable.
And that's what you have to have for The Bachelor.
Sure.
But then she told me sometimes they pick the worst people ever to be The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Like Juan Pablo.
Sure.
Like this one guy, Juan Pablo. Anyway.
I think I'm ready and you'll see. It's a weird one.
All right,
we'll
so it's a little bit of a weird one, and we've prefaced it.
Yep.
This is I Don't Think So, Honey, Bowen Yang, and Time Starts Now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, my feelings, my ambivalent feelings on The Beguiled. I saw it last week. I went into it thinking I was going to be gagged for it, and you know what? For the most part, I was, but that ending, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it is a weird, bizarre ending that I don't think was very earned. The pacing gets a little thrown off. There is literally, you know what? I'm not going to say this. I'm just going to say There's a Chekhov's gun, figuratively or literally, that may or may not be actually used in a Chekhovian sense, if that makes sense.
Okay,
I don't
30
think so,
seconds.
Honey. I thought I was going to love this movie, and now the fact that I don't love a Sofia Coppola movie is really fucking with me.
Oh, no.
I don't think
oh,
so,
no.
honey. My feelings. This is throttling me into an identity crisis that I did not ask for. I did not think The Beguiled would throw
15.
Me into this tizzy. I wish I had seen Baby Driver instead first and like maybe been either loved it so much or hated it as a contrarian opinion and then went to go see The Beguiled.
5 seconds.
To sort of have a better cinematic texture to my understanding. I don't think so many of my feelings on The Beguiled.
1 minute.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Wow. So I'm seeing it tonight.
Okay. Tell me what you think. Text me after.
And Peter and Kelly and I are going.
The BAM?
We're going to Angelica.
Oh, great.
And good. I'm very excited for this. I've watched the trailer more than I should.
Here's what I'll say. Performances are great. Nicole, Kirsten, what's
love
her face?
Em.
Ella. Elle is, I'm going to say it now, the best comedic performance of the year. She's so fucking funny in this movie.
Is she supposed to be?
Well, kind of, because she like bats her eyes in such a funny way at Colin Farrell. That's all I'll say. It's hilarious.
Every time
they cut to Elle Fanning, she looks fucking hysterical. Everyone in the theater was cracking up.
Am I gonna gasp and scream?
You're gonna gasp and scream and probably laugh.
Oh my god, I'm
Nicole
so excited.
Kidman, and this was in the trailer, her line of get me the whatever.
Get me the axe. The chloroform.
Get me the chloroform. And she has one line. Can I say it?
No, don't spoil.
She has a line right after that that I don't think they include in the trailer, that everyone in the theater and at BAM guffawed.
Do not say it. Do not say it. I want the experience of Nicole in a southern accent serving me a comedic line.
Oh, she nails the southern accent, by the way. Anyway.
We talked about this. A lot of people have problems with her accent in Big Little Lies because it's harder to do like straight up American accent than it is for someone who's foreign to do like a real southern accent.
But to go from Australian to southern is an easy jump.
That's what they say.
Anyway.
Little known language. Fact.
Yes. Actually, you know what? I liked The Beguiled for the most part. But just go see it. Go see it.
I'm going. Be I'm the judge. I love it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's mine. Sashir, are you ready?
It's time.
Okay.
It's okay. Time for okay. Sashir Zameda. I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Horse cops. Has anyone done this?
No. No.
What are you doing? Oh. Why are you riding a horse?
Yes.
Who do you think you're chasing? We don't have cowboys anymore. We're not playing cowboys and Indians anymore. We are all adults with cars and bicycles and segways and hoverboards.
Oh.
You need to keep up with the times.
Come
what
on.
Are you doing on that horse? And then I was at the beach the other day, saw a horse cop on the sand. That's not a place for horses.
No.
Put them somewhere in the grass or something. Also, a horse pooped on the street and no one cleaned it up. If you're going to have a horse, you have to have a bucket with you.
Yes.
You have to be prepared to sweep up the poop because that's disgusting. And we don't have cars that poop everywhere. We don't have to clean up our mess. You do, though. And I don't appreciate it. Who are you chasing with that
five
horse?
5 seconds.
You need to put the horse in the stable and make it enjoy nature instead of putting it on the street and not actually using it for its full potential.
One minute. Wow.
That is
one of those ones where you're like, yeah, fuck those people.
Why?
That is an animal. I walked by them and I looked into the horse's eye and I said, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
And guess what? You do need to clean up after them because that shit doesn't smell good. It's shit.
It's shit.
If it was a dog, you'd be cleaning it up.
Yes. And they take huge shits.
Smelly, fragrant
traffic
shits.
Accident shits.
Oh my god!
It truly was like on like near where the food was near Jacob Reese.
They're always at Jacob Reese.
Yeah, and there was like a huge plop of poop in front of like the shops, and it was like, whose responsibility is it to clean this?
Yes,
no one's.
No one's. It's just gonna disintegrate.
It's just gonna be there.
That's nuts.
I just went. We were at Fort Tilden yesterday, and there was a horse on the beach walking, and I was like, first of all, this is so for show.
Yes.
It's not necessary.
Second of all. What if that thing shits?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't not think about it.
And who are you chasing?
Who are you chasing?
If someone's running on foot, you don't need a horse.
Nope.
If it's just an elevation thing, they want to be like high up.
To see things, maybe?
I don't know, but that's still not...
It doesn't make sense. It's crazy that in 2017, they're like, no, we still need to own horses.
Oh my God. Do you have a bit about this in your stand-up?
No.
Please work. This is a huge issue.
This would be the second time that Alaska Coaches I Don't Think So Honey became a full bit.
And you know what?
This will be my open mic arena.
Yes,
I'll just come and do some I Don't Think So Honeys.
There you go.
But I agree. Until our society devolves to a place where there are bandits on horses.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe we will get there. I don't want to see them now.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, and the horses. If you're someone who thinks that dogs shouldn't belong in the city because they're trapped or whatever, same fucking thing goes for horses. Yeah. Extrapolate.
And I'm sure that's so much money.
Have
to like put them in a stable somewhere, I'm sure upstate or something. Like they're not just chilling in a garage. They must be in a stable somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
And then you had to train cops to ride horses.
Oh.
That's more of our money going to something that does not get used.
God,
just I to would have love people ride horses.
Someone yeah. that has intel on this to contact us and let us know what's up with these horses, because I have you've exposed a lot of questions.
Yeah,
and maybe this podcast is where we bring it down.
I smell another petition.
Change.org.
Yes.
Change.org.
You will see us on Change.org, where we will continue to change the world.
Thank God.
As Sasha Velour said, let's change the motherfucking world. Let's use all this beauty. I'm pointing to Bowen.
Thank you.
Like Sasha pointed to RuPaul.
Uh-huh.
And change the motherfucking world. Beautiful. On Change.org.
On Change.org. oh my God. This was such a fun episode.
Yes. This was party time.
This was party time. Go check out Party Time at the Bell House.
July 16th.
Yes.
Oh my God. As I foretold, this was an amazing episode.
Wow. Oh my God. You are a seer.
You're right. You were right.
You have the oracle in you.
Yes. Absolutely. Sashir, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We love you. So fun.
This was so amazing. Guys, I'm Matt Rogers.
I'm Bowen Yang.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever. Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit foreverdogproductions.com.